I'd like to kind of get right into our message pretty much because we have communion. We get to sit at the Lord's table today and partake of communion together. And so we're going to be in the book of Jeremiah, in the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah. If you don't have a Bible, here comes one down the aisle right now. Whoa. That's getting the Word of God out, that underhand. Yeah. Anyway, so I don't want to say that I labored over what we were going to teach today. It's not like, you know, I just go to the next verse, you know, in the next chapter or the next book, as we normally do, teaching, you know, verse by verse. But when you come in as a guest speaker or a fill-in or whatnot, you pretty much look at a topic. And I was trying to figure out what God has been saying to me and to us as a community here of believers and the things that are happening in our lives. I don't want to do what the trends are out in the world. I don't want to do what is popular. I really want to hear from the Lord and talk to you about the things that are happening right here in this room. And, you know, as a pastor, I know a lot of the things that are happening in everybody's lives. And likewise, you know, a lot of you know things that are happening in my life as well. And so I look at that and it's like, Lord, what is it that you want to tell me? What do you want me to speak about today? And it just, it's so obvious and so simple. You're special. That's what I've entitled today's message. You are special. And when I told that to Pastor Rod, he did the same thing. He was like, It's like, okay, I don't need to be told that. Teach me some. And about Wednesday, when I had pretty much had an outline and pretty much what all this was going to be, I thought to myself, oh boy, you know, am I on the right track? Did I hear from God? And listen, if anybody's supposed to hear from God, it's your pastors. I pray that you hear from God because Jesus says that, you know, my sheep know my voice and I know them and they follow me. We should know the master or the shepherd's voice. And so I'm like starting to think, and then I'm saying to myself, oh, this isn't. No, this, I don't know. I think I need to start over. And God is so faithful. So every time I get up here, there's a woman in my life I've known for 50 years. And this woman is a tower of faith in my life, okay? I never talked to her. She lives down in Miami. That was a long time ago, before in elementary school, actually. She used to watch me. And I only speak to her maybe a few times a year. And every single time I talk to her is right before I get ready to teach. I don't call her. She calls me. She has no idea. And it's just, I just laugh whenever she calls. And so she called and I'm studying and it said her name and I go, I can't believe it, God, you're doing this. I know you're behind this. Okay, that's all I need, Lord. And so I talked to this lady and she's got some issues. She says, I'm calling you to pray. And I'm laughing to myself. I'm going, pray? You want me to pray for you? And I said, listen, we're going to talk about the things that you want to pray about. And we're going to pray. She calls me her away pastor. And I said, but I got to tell you something. You know, you're calling me because you need to pray for me today because I'm teaching this week. And it always happens. In the whole time that I've ever taught, only two times has she not called me. And one time, I called her. I was like, when is she going to call me? And so she prayed for me that time. But that was a confirmation that maybe I was on the right track. But then we started talking about the things that were going on in her life. And remember, I said she was a tower of faithfulness and prayer in my life. I mean, she prayed for me. I can promise you that I wouldn't be behind this pulpit here if she hadn't prayed for me when I was 2 years old. And she said, there's things happening, and she explained them to me, of a personal nature in her family. And she goes, I just look back on it, and it's like, what is this all for? Is God really in my life? I mean, am I making a difference? I raise my children, and my children are having a hard time. You know, I just feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulder. Did I do something wrong? Did I do something to deserve this? And I laughed. I just had to sit back for a second and say, oh my gosh, this is what I'm teaching on. And I said, Lord, you are unbelievable that you would do this. So I got to share my message with her briefly. And no, actually, it was probably an hour and a half. But and I said, I got to thank you that you called me. Because, you know, for all of us, there's a call on our life, okay? We don't have to do it. We don't have to listen. We don't have to respond. But there, whether you like it or not, there's a call on your life. And I would say for everybody whose feet touch the ground and whose feet don't touch the ground all the time, we have a call on our life. Not everybody's going to make it to heaven, only those who respond to the call. And beyond that, you have a call on your life as Christians. And God is trying to tell us, I believe today, through our scriptures in Jeremiah, that you're special. I have something for you. And I'm going to be with you through all that. I know I haven't prayed yet. I'm going to pray before we read the scriptures. But overhead, can you put up Isaiah 43? See, we go through our life and we think sometimes that, you know, I pray, I read, I'm in the Word, I fellowship, and life is hard. You know, I'm praying for this and God has not answered. He even brings on things or allows things to come on me that are difficult. And it's like, when do I catch a break? I mean, we can go down the list and we could write a list right now of all the things that are insufficient or we think are failures in our life right now. And God says this to us. He wrote that to the Israelites. He says, but now, this is what the Lord, I better put these on. This is what the Lord said, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Now, some would say, well, he's talking to Israel. He's not talking to us. But he's talking to God's people, God's chosen people. And if you sit here and if you are called by his name, Christian, he's talking to you. These events happen. You know, our three-year-olds know back in the children's ministry about these events, about walking through the Red Sea or crossing the Jordan during flood stage when the water should flow over. They know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They know about all that stuff. So that's all gone, right? But that stuff happens today because when we have things in our life, death, sickness, financial issues, issues at work, problems in marriage, just name them. We have all those problems. God says they will not set you ablaze. It's going to affect you, but it won't destroy you is what he's telling you. You know, God has a plan for every single one of us for sure. Okay, you have to accept that. And whether you like it, I mean, we're gonna read the call on Jeremiah's life. Whether you like it or not, it's your call. And regardless of what's going on, God's plan does not fail. Doesn't fail. David said in Psalm 33, 10 and 11, he says, "The Lord foils the plans of nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, and the purposes of his heart through all generations." Who can stop the Lord Almighty, right? Did we not sing that? You said that, I'm like, oh, you got it. I wrote it on my hand, but because I would have forgot the name of the song. But anyway, we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 1, reading the first 10 verses, but before we do that, I would like to pray. Father, we thank you for this day and this time, and Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that I get to come behind this pulpit and teach your amazing word and your amazing promises. Lord, I thank you for giving it to us because it's good for instruction for us, teaches us how to live. And Lord, when we feel like we're wounded or abandoned, Lord, you lift us up. And so, Father, I pray that you would lift us up today as we read your word, speak to our heart, and let us go from here encouraged. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I said, when we read this, I want you to personalize this. This is a conversation between God and a boy. But I want you to personalize this because God has a call on each of our lives. Let's look at verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, for I cannot speak, for I'm a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out and pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." So the first couple verses, you get an idea of time frame and of history, okay? Jeremiah, in his ministry, okay, because that's like an introduction, in his ministry, in throughout the whole 52 chapters of this book, this is this time frame in verse 2 and 3, okay? He was born of a priest, Hilkiah. He was born in a priestly city, the land of Benjamin. He came to serve in the 13th year of Josiah, a good king. The rest of these kings, well, there's only two others mentioned. There was actually five kings that he served as a prophet under. Four of them were bad. They were wicked. They not only turned against the Lord, they turned the city, the country, everybody against the Lord. They defaced the temple. They were against God. It was by God's divine direction that he allowed that the kingship be under a godly king. And that is where Jeremiah came in the 13th year. He says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying," he heard the voice of the Lord. I was asking for a voice from God to say, "RJ, you know, this is what I want you to teach." And you know why I'm teaching it? I could have gone anywhere and found somebody who had a call on their life. But in August, my devotions were to read through the book of Jeremiah. And so, although we're only going to look at what we read, we're going to talk a little bit about this whole ministry that Jeremiah had, this 40-plus years of ministry under these five kings. He heard the voice of the Lord. He knew it was God. You know, on Wednesday, when I thought, This is wrong, I wasn't hearing God, because we hear other voices. Sometimes it's our voice. Sometimes, you know, it's distractions. That's all it is. But as children of God, we need to know his voice. He says in verse 5 that before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This word form that he used is exactly the same word used in Genesis 2 when it said that God formed us, formed man out of the dust of the earth. It means to craft, like you're going to build a piece of handcrafted pottery. God actually got his, whoa, the little guys are getting rowdy. God actually got his hands dirty when he made us. And I don't know about you, but if somebody said, hey, listen, I got some mass-produced stuff over here, but I got some hand-engraved merchandise over here, what do you want? What's more valuable? What is made by hand? How about the hand of the Creator? He says, I knew you before I even formed you, before you were even conceived, before I am responsible for you. That's what God is saying to Jeremiah. He says, before you were born, before you were delivered, before your parents said, oh, look how cute, look how much hair. Oh, father says, oh, this is, he's going to follow in my footsteps, all this kind of, before that even happened, God said, sorry, dad, I have him set apart for my purpose. Hilkiah is like, he's going to be a priest. He's ready to come into the priestly line and step in. I've been training him, pouring into him. And God says, I don't think so. He's going to be a prophet to the nations. He says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I appointed you. So God says, before you were even formed, before you were even thought about, conceived, I knew exactly what you were going to be and what you were going to do. If you look through verse 5 all the way to verse 10, you see I or the Lord. Okay, God has taken responsibility of this call. And he's no different with you. He's taken responsibility of this call in your life. And you say to yourself, I don't know that I can do that. I'm not interested in that. God is capable. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? He says, I have formed you specific, unique, and special. Nobody has your DNA. Nobody has your fingerprint, your bite print. Nobody thinks exactly like you. Nobody. And he says, I have a position for you. God has taken responsibility for the work that he's going to do through Jeremiah. And I encourage you to read through Jeremiah and see the things that happen in this man's life. Not a very productive ministry, but yet God took responsibility. Warren Wiersbe says that what we are is God's gift to us, but what we are is our gift to him. See, God has a calling on our life, and he has gifted us, and he's allowed us to have these gifts, and we can keep them to ourselves, or we can give them back to him. And we know that when we get in heaven and we have those crowns, we're going to give all those crowns back to him. Okay, let's see where we're at. So, my first point today is God has chosen you for a specific purpose. Okay, God has chosen you for a specific purpose. Now, this conversation, it goes to the teenager. In verse 6, he says, Jeremiah says back to God, God, I can't speak. And God says, I know, that's why I'm choosing you. I don't want you to speak. I want to give you the words to say. And we say to ourselves, Lord, I can't do that ministry. And he says, I know. Lord, I can't be that light that you're calling me to be. I know. Lord, I can't stop this thing that I want to stop in myself. I can't be the godly husband that you've called me to be on my own. I can't be the single mom. I can't go through these things on my own. He says, I know that. I want to fill you. I want to give you all that you need. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet to the nations with an S, not just the children of Israel, but all nations. Now, in this book, he's going to speak to Egypt also. He's going to speak to Babylon also. But what I've seen after reading all the way through here and then just looking at it and saying, God's speaking to us right now. And for the purpose of this study today, God is saying to us, look at this man. Look at him. I called him to this ministry. He's supposed to do exactly what I've told him to do. And he did. He didn't sugarcoat a message. He didn't cut corners. He didn't, you know, here he is starting out in the ministry young, and he goes right to Israel and say, hey, listen, you guys are, your back is against God. You're sacrificing to other gods in the temple, defacing the temple. You're burning incense to other gods. You're mistreating the poor. The things that God's called us to do, right? Love God, love people. And you're failing. Guess what's going to happen? There's going to be an army that comes from the north, and he's going to annihilate us. We have to turn back. And they're like, we ain't listening to this kid. What, you know, we're not doing this. It was a difficult call. The book, when you look at it in itself, is a book of repentance. And it should be for us, too, that we look at this and we go, well, yeah, daily I need to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness of the things that I do, the things that I think. Well, maybe not you, but me. I know that. But I see in here, I see God's faithfulness. See, God called this guy to a ministry. He says, I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to take care of it. You're going to do it. And it doesn't turn out right. But he never stopped. So he says, Lord God, I can't speak. I don't have anything to say. And he says, that's good. God, and the Lord said to me, he said, don't say that I'm a youth. He says, don't say that. Do you know how many times I've heard in history? Do you know how many times in the future I'm going to hear from somebody? I can't do that ministry. I'm not equipped for it. I'm not smart enough. You know, I can't remember. I don't like to speak in front of people. Whatever. He heard it from Moses, Isaiah. You know, he told Gideon to go to war. Gideon goes, Lord, my brothers are all bigger than me. I'm the smallest in my clan. Why would you choose me for war? Because, okay, I'll get 30,000 people. Okay, bring 300. If you Google right now, if you Google, is there anything too hard for me? I guarantee you'll get Jeremiah, I think 32:27. Okay, if you do that, God says, is there anything too hard for me? I'm calling you to, if I say I want you to do something, you don't have to say I can't do it. I'm putting you there because I know you can do it, because I'm going to do it through you. Paul knows this. He says, I take the foolish things and they put to shame the things that are wise. He says, I take the things that are weak and frail and I let them crush the things that are mighty. He says, the things that people don't want, the things that are despised, that's exactly what I want. That's what I want. And he says, you know why I do that? Because I don't want you to trust in yourself. I want you to trust in me. God's not interested in our, I think I took this from Warren Wiersbe as well, which I'm mentioning his name so I can do that. He's not interested in our capability. He's interested in our availability. In verse 8, he says, don't be afraid of their faces. He says, don't be afraid of their faces. Listen, I'm going to tell you who to go to and what to say and when to say it, where to say it. I'm going to tell you everything. And don't be afraid of their faces. You know why God told him that? Because he would have something to be afraid of. Have you ever told somebody something and they're like, oh, you know, I mean, some of you guys are doing it now, but God said, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't focus on that. You know, when I teach, I don't even, you think I'm looking at you, but I'm not, you know, I'm just looking past you. He says, I'm going to be with you to deliver you. That's a promise. That's something, if you can't grab onto anything today, before you grab your keys, grab onto that. God says, I will be with you to deliver you. So our first point was God has chosen you for a specific purpose. The second point is God will be with you to complete that purpose. It's a promise. He's not going to leave you alone. In verse 9, Jeremiah says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.'" Guys, I prayed that God would put his words in my mouth today, okay? Because I got 9 pages of stuff here, and you can't do that in 30 minutes. So, Lord, shorten this and tell me what we need to know, what's important. Put your words in my mouth. And I want to say that when this happened, God kind of put his flash drive in Jeremiah and just downloaded 40 plus years of ministry of information into his heart. And I wish I could do that with this word, just go, all right, there you go. Now, God doesn't do that for us. He wants us to labor in this word and to go over it and over it and over it. But for Jeremiah, what did he do? He said he put the words in his mouth. He put it in there, and, you know, and he was probably shaking and all that. No, probably not. But God gave him everything to say, every single thing. And that's what he told him. He didn't tell him to do anything. He didn't say, lead the people of Israel back to me or the people of Judah. He said, speak the things that I tell you to speak to whom I tell you to speak it to. See, God wants to put his words in our mouth. And sometimes, like Isaiah, he might want to touch your mouth and take some words out, like he did me, sometimes. Isaiah said that I'm a man of unclean lips. How can I be a prophet of yours? Oh, I'm going to take those words out, Isaiah. So how do we hear from God? Certainly through his word, right? We read this and it gets inside of us, and sometimes it just comes out. We forget. I don't know about you, but I forget the word. We don't, you know, in our house, we don't always spout out Bible verses all the time. But when my wife prays for me, it's like I have to open my eyes. Is she reading the word? Where is this coming from? It's a gift God gives us. That when he puts his word in us, it says that his spirit, what does it say? It bears witness with our spirit that we're his children, children of God. It's so his spirit can communicate, can fellowship with our spirit and help draw out the word that we've read and we've studied and we've forgotten. And we have the time, we have the ability to say it at the right time. And if you're somebody who gets a chance to minister to people here and there, you know that somebody will come up to you and say, man, something you said really ministered to you, to me. And then you say, can you repeat it to me? Because I don't know what I said. I really don't. And that's the Holy Spirit pulling that out of you. He said in verse 10, he says, this day I have set you over nations and kingdoms. He says, I put you in charge. Now, he is between 16 and 20 years old. He does not have the knowledge to stand before diplomats and tell them how to run their lives or their country. But that's what God has given him through that passage of who? Josiah. See, now, he probably would not have made it to be a counsel to the king if he went before a wicked king. But God opened the door by 13 years before having Josiah come into kingship at the age of 8 years old. That's a step in itself of faith. So God gave him everything he had to say. He gave him access and authority to speak what he had to say, where he needed to say it. He provided exactly what he needed. That's our third point, is God will empower you to fulfill the purpose, that purpose, what he has on your life. He said to Jeremiah, you're going to root down and pull down. You're going to destroy and throw down. See, there were things that were going to be said in this ministry that were going to step on some toes, that were going to make some enemies for Jeremiah. And he says, "That I need you to say that." He says, you can't go into a field and plant unless you tear the soil up. And you can't build a building or do an addition unless you do some site work first. And so we have to do the groundwork. You need to go in and speak the truth. The people need to come back to me, turn to me. And so we see this and we say, but you said Jeremiah never turned anybody to the Lord. 40 years of ministry, never had anybody go, God bless you, in God's direction. And Jeremiah was thinking, that was my job, to turn people. And God said, no, that wasn't your job. Your job was to do, to say what I told you to say. That's what a prophet is supposed to bubble forth like a fountain. God bless you. The message wasn't bubbly. Made enemies. Jeremiah spent a lot of time in jail, beaten up. He was in stocks. They left him for dead. They tried to starve him. A lot of things. And you see this, and it's like, at what point, Jeremiah, are you going to say, well, God, I must not have heard you. That must have been something on my heart. I was training to be a priest, and then all of a sudden I get this crazy idea that I'm going to go speak before diplomats. I must have been doing what I wanted to do, Lord. And God said, no, no. You did exactly what I've asked you to do. God says, I'm going to have you do these things that are going to destroy and throw down and pull up and start over. Why? Because I want to build. I want to build in this nation. I want to plant. And in this book, he's going to tell the Israelites that when they go into Babylon to just kind of live, you know, build, you know, plant, live your life there, because God's going to bring you back to your land at some point. God wasn't surprised that none of this turned out to be a good ministry story, because that's not what he did it for. And even for our purpose, I don't believe that's what God did it for. See, because I said at the beginning, God loves you. He cares for you. You're special to him. When you think about that, if you say, if I'm so special to God, then if he's led me to something, I mean, if he's chosen me for something, if he said he'll be with me for something, if he said he'll help me and give me everything I need to do that something, then it's going to be a success, right? He's going to give me all I need. He's going to tell me what to say. He's going to tell me what to do. It's going to be a success. And he gave this book of Jeremiah to us to show us that you know, it wasn't very successful, the call that I had on his life. And yet, what was successful was his faithfulness, the faithfulness of the called. That's what I think that this message is the faithfulness of the called. Because even though God told him to do something and it didn't work out the way he thought it should work out, he continued and remained steadfast. And for us, as we go through life and we go, well, my finances aren't working out, Lord, and I keep trying, and I keep trying, and it's not working out. My work situation, it just stinks. But I don't know. I don't have another place to go. Are you moving me out? And God's saying, I didn't provide anything else for you. I haven't told you anything. I just want you to remain faithful. Why? Because there's people out there looking at your life, and it's a testimony to them. We get a bird's eye view of Jeremiah's life, and we go, Jeremiah, I would have quit. And then God says, no, you wouldn't. Because Jeremiah didn't have a choice in this. You notice that when he says, Lord, I can't speak. And God said, don't do that. Don't go there. See, sometimes when we go through times that are difficult for us and we try to look back and see if there's something that we did wrong, if we failed in, like my friend, somebody needs to come there and say, no, has God called you to it? Has God given you what you need to do it? Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, he said he's not going to leave you, right? Yeah. Has he told you to stop? No. Then you better continue to be faithful, because God's hand is in your life. And that's what I was able to tell Pat. I was like, you can't control what other people do and their reaction and how they receive when you do what you've been told to do. You can't control that, but that's not what you're told to control. You're told to control your mouth and your obedience to God and your testimony. That's what you're in control of. I say that this is where we are in our life when we struggle through life and the world comes in on us and closes in and we go, Lord, have you left me alone? This is when the task becomes the test. It's just testing. It's just purification. It's just God working this out in our life, because when we get through it, we come forth as pure gold. He needs to burn off from us the us so we could be more of him. He wants us to trust him. This book to me is a book of faithfulness, the faithfulness of the called of God. And this is something that Jeremiah had championed in his life. He won this fight. It didn't matter if he turned anybody to the Lord. You know, God could have done it all by himself anyway without Jeremiah. And then what would the record be? The record would be God walked in, snapped his finger, Israel came back. And so we'd be sitting around waiting for God to come in and snap his finger so we'd turn back to him. But God said, no, I got a call on your life and I want you to be faithful through it, regardless of what happens. It doesn't always happen the way we want, huh? But it always happens the way God wants, the way he plans it. He's always faithful. Today, I believe I was told to tell you guys that you are special. Regardless of what's happening in life, regardless of difficulties in marriage, difficulties at work, deaths in the family, loneliness, financial, whatever it is, health, whatever it is, you're not alone. God says, I will be with you. I love you. You are special to me. Don't ever forget that. The last thing that I want to close with, we started with Isaiah chapter 43. I want to end with Isaiah 43, verse 4 and 5. And this is God again speaking to his people. He says, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored. I have loved you, and therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. And that's what God has done. You know, the prophets who wrote this book, the apostles who wrote parts of this book, inspired by the Holy Spirit, they gave their lives for us. See, we get to go back and have an account of all the things that happened. We get to have an account of all this history. Guys, it is so easy for us to look at this and say, I get the whole picture. Could you imagine being the apostles, having only the Old Testament? And say, where's the commentary for this? I don't understand this. God has given us his word in these pages here. He says he's given up a lot for us. He's given us his son. Today, we're going to partake of communion and remember that. God wants you to know this as we leave here today and as we close. Fear not, for I am with you. You are special to me. I have a purpose for you. We're in the process of getting that purpose completed. It might be your whole lifetime. I'm going to be with you throughout the whole thing. When you suffer, I suffer. That's what God says. And I'm going to give you everything you need to complete that job and that task. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and this time. And Lord, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would sink this word into our heart, because even Jeremiah says that our heart is hard and desperately wicked. And sometimes when we're going through difficult times and you give us an encouraging word, we don't believe it for ourselves. We say it's good for somebody else, but it's not good for me, not with what I'm going through. Lord, I pray that you would pour yourself into us, Lord, that we might make a difference. It might make a difference not only in our life, but Father, that we would be able to make a difference in other people's lives. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to get to encourage somebody this week. And even these, I pray that sit in these seats, I pray that they would be encouraged also by your word, that you're with them, that you love them, that you're special, that they are special to you. Lord, I pray that you just continue to work in our lives as we serve you and as we love you. Father, as we partake of communion now, I pray that you would come here with us, just like when you were with the disciples in the upper room that night. And so, Father, we thank you for all that you do in our life. We thank you for who you are in our life. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to do an amazing work in all of our lives. There's not just one or two that are chosen and called in this building, but we all are. And so we're thankful for that. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.